You're giving this away to our listeners for free? Goodness me, this is going to be gold for them.
By the end of 2026, Amazon Australia will represent 25% of online sales in Australia.
Wow, that's huge. What KPIs matter most for measuring PPC success?
ROAS, really, really important. Mm-hmm. Total ROAS, in my opinion, even more important because it all kind of drives for the bigger outcome.
If you've got all these big brands coming into Amazon, are they going to price out any new sellers?
No, that's not going to happen because it hasn't happened in any other market. You just have to maybe a little bit clever about your category. What are you going to be selling? We did a bit of research on one of my guys and they were selling equipment for aged care facilities. That's a really good opportunity in terms of getting the right products because...
I'm Matthew Fraser and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. On today's episode, we're joined by Martin Heidelberg, a highly experienced Amazon expert and managing director of 2020 Consulting, an agency specializing in helping sellers be seen on marketplaces and grow their bottom line. With over 14 years of experience, Martin has achieved remarkable results for his clients. And in this episode, he breaks down the essentials of PPC that every seller needs to know. KPIs that matter most, click-through and conversion rate, FAQs, common mistakes, and the best kept secrets in Amazon advertising. Let's dive in and learn from an expert who knows how to make PPC work for Amazon sellers of all levels. What do you mean Amazon Verified Partner Agency? Why is that important though?
Why it's important is because we basically work quite closely with Amazon Australia.
Okay.
We get invited to events, we hold talks with them. We were just kind of invited to Amazon Seller Summit. It kind of just shows that our team has gone through certain training and verification from Amazon to get the Amazon Verified Partner. So you can be an Amazon sponsored network partner, mm-hmm. which is one set, and then you have Amazon Ads Verified Partner, which, as we both know, is that you have Seller Central, but then you have your Amazon Ads and Campaign Manager. Mm-hmm. They're two different systems, and same thing works with the verification. So you actually have to go through training for Amazon Ads to go through that first, and then you open up your accounts, your client accounts to Amazon. They go through to show that you actually are running campaigns.
Oh, right.
And then that's how you become verified.
You got to prove to them that you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can't just make that up. So, and you have to resit training for the team every year.
Oh, right.
So it's very similar to Google certification. And I've actually done Google certification because in a previous job, 12 years ago when I first moved to Australia, I was a campaign manager at Google and running Google campaigns on behalf of Census, Yellow Pages, White Pages. Mm-hmm. And we had to sit that training. And that training was easy compared to Amazon's Amazon Ads verification training. So that's kind of where we as an agency, there's a boxes that we need to tick because we do, if I talk about 2020 as a whole, like I come from agency media background. So I spent, before I started 2020, I spent 10 years working in the media industry. Mm-hmm. So I was a digital specialist. I worked for some really big agencies, but some really big clients, like to name a few, it could be.
Name
like,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
Go Martin.
So Adidas.
Yeah, come on, Glow. Yeah.
Holden.
Wow.
Dan Murphy's. Okay. And the last agency I worked for, I'll give them a little shout out, which is Stratosphere. There I was the head of digital for Chemist Warehouse. So came from a very, very retail performance-driven client and also sitting in supplier meetings. So supplier meetings means that when brands sit with Chemist Warehouse to negotiate, okay, what stock are we going to take in? How much will you spend with us? What price can we get, etc.? And I thought that was really interesting to see how tough the negotiations could be mm-hmm. and what it means to brands and their bottom line. So... Yeah. That's when I then started looking at the digital space. And we didn't start as an Amazon agency. We started as a market. We are still a marketplace agency. I know that you mentioned that a few times that there's other channels. So mm-hmm. we actually started with eBay.
Okay.
And then Amazon, we were announcing we're coming. So we, of course, added Amazon. But we also do the iconic Qantas Freaking Flyer, Woolworths, Kohl's.
So someone can actually come to you now as an agency and if they have an eBay account. And say, can you do my eBay advertising for me?
Yes.
Okay. So within the one agency.
Within the one agency. So we have built out a specialist team in terms of around all these. Because as we know, the complexities of Amazon, is one of the most complex out there. You have your Seller Central, that's, you know, really old technology, mm-hmm. and just, you know, navigating it can take time and working things out. And you have Amazon Ads. But then, you know, eBay is now adding on their retail media section or their ad section. So is Kogan, so is Catch. So it's kind of growing here.
We do Walmart as well?
We do Walmart, we do Macy's, Amazon.
Wow.
In the US, they've taken a different approach. In Australia, we have 55 marketplaces or more. In the US, it was Amazon, 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 Amazon. But what we're seeing now is that big retailers with huge databases are opening up to create their own marketplaces to kind of start competing with Amazon over there. And it's working. Like, Walmart's grown quite significantly. So it's like, it should definitely be on anyone's radar. If you're selling on Amazon US, you should definitely look at Walmart and how you
can
get
exactly
in there.
That's exactly what I've done. So I started with Amazon because it was the, I guess, the biggest platform there. And then slowly, I actually went from Amazon into Shopify.
Yep.
Because I made the moves. Well, first of all, Amazon shut me down.
Yeah.
Okay. You hear this a bit?
Yeah.
Right. They shut my account down. In hindsight though, Martin, that was actually the blessing. Because when I first did my Amazon training, it was like, hey, Amazon's the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. You just get to Amazon. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, brilliant. I'll just do that, right? But then shortly into that, I got suspended for, oh, I can't remember, maybe too many returns or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I can't remember. But I realized at that point, I can't have all my eggs in one basket.
No.
Okay. So then I thought, I was probably doing about 200 or 200,000 a month or something like that at that stage. And obviously having all my eggs in one basket was a problem.
Yeah.
But what I realized too was, hey, if people are coming to Amazon to buy this product, maybe if I showcase it to them, to their face through or Google or more, at the time it was actually more Facebook.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll buy it.
Yeah.
So then at the start, I did ClickFunnels.
Yeah.
And then I was using Facebook ads. And that kind of then just ended up snowballing into then replicating that through other countries, UK, Canada, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then during that early phase too, that's when Amazon Australia opened up.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you have, when people come to you, is it mainly for Amazon? Is that still like the biggest player?
The shift has happened the last 2 years here in Australia where Amazon's now, you know, they're not delivering on that delivery promise.
They're not delivering?
They are.
Oh, okay.
That's the biggest shift I've seen in the last 2 years is when we first started in Australia, mm-hmm. everyone told me that Amazon have failed.
Right.
It's not a good experience. A lot of the stock's coming from the US. But what Amazon have done here is incredible. They've built up warehouses in every single state. They have at least three now. And, you know, the delivery promise is real. That you order something on a Friday, you're sitting on your couch on Saturday, maybe a little bit hungover, and all of a sudden you get a door knock and it's your Amazon delivery.
And you scratch your head, you wonder how quickly that arrived.
And that's the switch that's happened. Over the last 2 years, that delivery promise is still so strong now.
Mm-hmm.
So clients or prospects that we've talked to, managing directors 4 or 5 years ago, they weren't asking how. They were asking, why should we be on Amazon? They're not calling back saying, how do we get on there? And that's the shift in terms of Amazon's just is now opening the doors for a lot of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens with us is we get people going, get them set up, the right brand and all that, and keep on working on that. But then also adding on additional channels that make sense for that brand.
Right.
Because I don't believe you should, you know, go the shotgun approach. You know, be in a place where your products belong and mm-hmm. your brand as well.
Yeah. And so what sort of client comes to you then? I mean, you just mentioned before like directors or something, I think you said.
Yeah.
Does that mean you only deal with, you know, clients that are, you know, doing $10 million plus, or is it, what are your benchmarks?
It has shifted in the last 2 years just because in terms of our strategic approach as an agency, but we do work with, you know, certain startups. And when we say startups, it's more like they might have a couple of years of trading. They're actually doing it more full. They're doing it full time now. It's a real business to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our qualifier. We have been kind of, you know, Amazon will come to us from time to time and say, hey, we have this brand that we believe in. They've kind of part of our incubator, et cetera, et cetera. Like one of them is called Bay Juice. It's like an anti hangover drink, okay. Korean pear juice.
Okay.
Done extremely well here in Australia. They've kind of also got ranging in like all the major supermarkets and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So those type of brands we kind of want to work with. But most important qualifier for us is, are you a brand? Because we ideally only want to work with brands because we want to be able to help you in a way where you have access to brand registry, which we all know unlocks brand tools such as A-plus content, Amazon storefront.
So that's just, let me pause you there, Martin, because, you know, someone who, you know, traditionally was a bit like me, started off with one product. I created a brand name. I trademarked it.
Perfect.
But I guess in hindsight, it was, you know, it was just a name that I just made up, right? And I didn't really have any collateral behind that. Yeah. I didn't have a Facebook page or anything like that. So how would you qualify then someone, you know, if someone came to you like me back in 2018, would that be classified as a brand? Would you say, oh, I've got a trademark on a product. Would you say, oh, that's a brand, we'll take it on? Or does it have to be something else there behind it?
If you were brand new with no sales history, we might not work with you. Right. I might give advice and help you. Mm. I'm very much like, you know, I get into a conversation, I hear someone's problem, I want to solve it. I'm very male in that way.
Yeah.
As my girlfriend hates it at times, so I'm trying to be quiet.
You want to be the helper.
Yeah. I'd really want to help. And I'm like, and I just see this opportunity for brands. And I know that sometimes, you know, you leave them with 2-3 nuggets that you've learned over 10 years. And it's not just me. It's like my team. We just share information. And if I can share something to get you bypass headaches for the next 3 months, I will do that.
Okay.
But in your case, like you mentioned, you were doing revenue. You have proof there. We would kind of, our approach is, okay, let's do an audit first. Before I start charging you money or anything like that, let's do an audit. Where are you at today, and can we actually have an impact? Mm-hmm. If we couldn't have an impact, I would just be honest. So, hey, I think you're doing really, really well. We're not good enough to help you.
Mm.
And then that's an honest conversation. But if here's an opportunity to grow up together, then I'll be, Matt, like this is what it looks like, and this is what we found. Let's try this for the next 6 months.
Okay. So basically, so you take some of these newer brands, which you mentioned, like that drink, for example, and do you find now that some bigger brands, I think you're kind of alluding to this before, they now want to be on Amazon, so they're coming back to you. Hey, we used to advertise in TV and sell through our Coles stores or something. Yeah. Now we want to be on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have they got someone who's doing Amazon for them and then they come to you for ads, or do you kind of handle the whole thing?
It's a mix. It's a mix depending on the organization. Like we've done some consulting for, Mars, and then it's like they usually have an internal team because globally – they understand the opportunity Amazon represents and also the importance of representing your brand. These companies spend billions on advertising. Why wouldn't you make sure that your A-plus content, your imagery, everything around your brand is consistent?
Yeah.
But they might come to us and say, okay, now we need help with ads or Amazon DSP, which is like the other form of advertising with Amazon, because we kind of combining
both. And just for those who don't know, what does DSP mean?
It's demand-side platforms. It's Amazon's... It's a way of using Amazon's audiences. So not just, you know, sponsored ads, but also using the audiences to, you know, Amazon has very rich data about you as a shopper, what you consume, etc. So in media, we kind of build these audience groups that then brands can, you know, target and use certain creatives. If anyone's watching Prime Video at the moment, a lot of those is driven through DSP when you're getting ads served through there. You don't have to be a seller. Some brands just want to access that rich data to make sure they have very efficient campaigns.
Opened up something I didn't even think about, Martin.
Oh.
The Prime TV.
Yeah.
So do you do ads on that channel?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, there's opening
up. And so
up,
how does someone then, you know, I've never advertised on there. I wouldn't even know the first thing about advertising on their channel. Right, so do you have to be... I'm presuming you've got to be on the Amazon platform selling a product in order to be able to advertise there, or is that not the case?
No, that's the thing. So if you're watching Prime Video, you'll see that there's, you know, insurance companies running ads at the moment. Sports bets, unfortunately, has already jumped on as well. But the word, and everything has different words, but it means the same thing. So you have endemic brands. Endemic brands means you're a seller on Amazon.
Okay.
Non-endemic, you're a non-seller.
It doesn't sound very good, does it?
I know. Yeah. It just doesn't roll off my Swedish tongue either, so it's very annoying. But I basically said non-sellers or sellers.
Yep.
But, you know, brands will come and say, we have, you know, we're doing this big integrated campaign and we want to make sure we're running very, very relevant ads. So I've been watching Amazon Prime and a bit of SBS, and at the moment, like, Queensland is running a lot of messaging around consent. And again, they would have then gone and said, we want to run specifically state-based messaging for Queensland. We want to use these audiences. And that's how they can use DSP and then access Prime Video.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's a bigger scale. Like you're looking at spending a lot more, but these are usually for bigger, more established sellers or brands
mm-hmm.
who kind of are going, you know, we're kind of maxing out our sponsored ads. How can we put it more into the funnel? So if you look, think about a funnel as a pyramid,
mm-hmm.
the bottom is the, you know, the performance, that's where the conversion happens. What's happening, you need to start, keep on filling up. It's like prospecting for an agency. You have to be out there. You have to kind of do podcasts or talk to industry people or whatever you're doing, EDMs. Just adding into the top funnel,
mm-hmm.
DSP can do that, but also educate. But it's just more relevant because you know that, hey, these million people are shopping in the baby category. They're watching baby content. So
yeah.
they know they're relevant. So when they're running ads, it's more efficient.
If you've got all these big brands coming into Amazon,
yeah.
are they going to price out any new sellers? You know, if someone's thinking about, hey, I want to sell on Amazon, sounds like Matt's making money.
Yeah.
I want to do that too. But is there still a window of opportunity, you think, or is it just basically they're going to be priced out now?
No, I don't believe that's not going to happen because it hasn't happened in any other markets. So you have a brand, you just have to be maybe a little bit clever about your category.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to be selling? Like, I love the fact what you just said before, like I started in medical. I'm like, that's so clever. Like,
I made my money in medical,
yeah.
but I actually started in automotive.
Yes, okay.
My first two products didn't yeah. work out.
Yeah.
But the one that became the winner was in the medical space.
And I know because we did a bit of research and one of my guys used to work for someone else and they were selling equipment for aged care facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, honestly, I think that's a really good opportunity in terms of getting the right products because what they were doing, they built a brand. They found a good manufacturer and sourcer in China who created this. Everything was great quality.
Yeah.
But if we talk about, you know, cost of goods, such high margin products.
Martin, wait. You're giving this away to our listeners for free, this information?
Oh.
Goodness me. This is going to be gold for them. So medical space, it turns out, is a hot niche.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. But again, if you're going to go and create a candy bar,
yeah.
Don't.
Okay.
Like, don't do it. Don't go to Amazon. Mars, Snickers, Dime, Kit Kat, they are going to steamroll you.
Right.
Because you cannot compete. Look, I'm sure I have to eat my words in a couple of years' time. Some will come, hey, here, I created this. That's yeah. great. But then you have other supplements categories. Like, we've done a bit of, you know, work and consulting for some brands here.
In supplements. Oh, let's talk about this because so many people I speak to, you know, they see the numbers.
Yeah.
Right, on Amazon, because obviously you've got the tools that you can, you know, things like Zonguru, et cetera. Yeah. The numbers are outstanding. Is there still room for people to go in and do supplements and make money?
Yeah. They're all my favorite clients, but one of our, you know, proudest case studies is the company called The Collagen Co.
Okay.
They specialize in collagen supplements. They're a startup. They're 6 years old now, three guys out of Melbourne. Who they had a little go beforehand, a couple other businesses and supplements
mm-hmm.
until they came into this niche, which is collagen, which is now quite big. But they've kind of created this incredibly looking brand. I think it looks incredible.
Collagen too become a bit sort of, it's the thing now?
It's the thing.
Yeah.
But you know, they were early on uh-huh. the thing. So they do collagen products. They also do meal replacement products, but everything's collagen based.
Okay.
But their brand looks amazing. They know, you know, they're using, you know, their own channels, which is like socials, EDMs, websites. And for them, they were entering Amazon going, okay, we don't know what to do, where to start, the strategy. We want to avoid making mistakes so we can get going versus a year from now, we have made the learnings. We're like, let's just bypass the learnings. Let's work with 2020 to bypass that. So they went into a category which was competitive. There's a company called Dose & Co, which is owned or co-owned by an investor company out of the US, which also Kim Kardashian owns into.
Mm-hmm.
Within 4 months, The Collagen Co became the number one seller on Amazon Australia.
And Kim Kardashian is involved in this brand too.
They're involved in Dose & Co, the competitor.
Oh, I see.
So that's what I mean. It's not saturated. It's like, how can you work with your brand? How can you maximize the channel of Amazon?
And how long has this collagen one been around for?
They've been around for 5 or 6 years.
So not that long.
No, but they started selling on Amazon February last year.
Wow, February last year.
Yeah.
And are you allowed to give us any behind the scenes numbers?
behind the scenes numbers.
Can you give us top line numbers, like what sort of revenue they would do in a year or something like that?
I think it's easy to find for your listeners if they know how to use some of their analytics.
Would it be more than 7 figures a year?
In, here in Australia?
Mm-hmm.
The definitely, like, that's where we're tracking.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for an Australian brand.
For an Australian brand in Australian Amazon, which Amazon Australia is very much growing as well. Like, that's what also saying. I've been trying to tell brands or sellers, get in today, because in 5 years' time, it's going to be so much more competitive. And the earlier you can start ranking, the better for you. Even mm-hmm. though if you're not generating heaps of sales,
yeah,
it's you're still starting to rank, because I read a really interesting stats. Amazon Australia is going to represent by 2026, end of 2026, 25% of e-commerce sales in Australia.
Whoa. Can you say that again?
The stat that I read is the prediction is by the end of 2026, Amazon Australia will represent 25% of online sales in Australia.
Wow. That's huge. So if you're not on that platform, you're missing out on a huge opportunity.
Exactly. And I think, you know, a few years ago, everyone was like, Amazon's the big bad wolf, et cetera, et cetera. But they've come in here and, you know, created this delivery promise. Convenience is king in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We do have value shoppers, but more people shop on convenience. So many of my friends are going, I go to Amazon, I search my thing, I click Prime. If it's not available Prime, it doesn't exist.
Right. See, that's another key thing. You have to be Prime, a Prime seller. Yeah. And so can you explain Prime for people who don't understand what Prime is?
Yeah, so Prime is basically that you're using Amazon's fulfillment services.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sending stock to Amazon's warehouse in order for them to kind of fulfill them if it's next day or same day delivery. And it has a lot of benefits. And honestly, when we first started 2020, our first clients were Harley Davidson and Crocs Footwear.
Right.
And we used to do warehouse and logistics for both of them, because they didn't have their own D2C capabilities.
Okay.
And I was brand new to this world. But looking at the costs of sending a pair of Crocs from Melbourne up to the Northern Territory to some regional town, it could be something sometimes up to $80 for a $40 pair of shoe.
Right.
Amazon is only going to charge you roughly 20 to 25% of your RRP.
As a seller?
As a seller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's including FBA fulfillment, FBA warehousing, FBA returns.
So it becomes a no-brainer.
In my opinion, yes. But you know, everyone goes, oh, that's such a high fee. And I always ask them,
you go get how much your own warehouse.
Get your own warehouse, get your staff, and then you try and negotiate with Australia Post.
yeah, exactly. And you'll be like a small fish.
Yeah.
And you won't get anything done.
Yeah. You need to do like, you know, a million orders a year to be even considered for negotiations with the Australia Post.
Now, it's interesting because you know a lot about Amazon, not just from a PPC perspective and advertising.
Yes, sorry, we have diverted a lot from
No, it's interesting. Ads. But have you been a seller yourself?
No, but I'm very, very passionate about everything we do in an agency in terms of I want to understand every single step of the way of being Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, look, I can be sitting there in the middle of the night checking like on the app to see how a new seller is going. Like, okay, how's that campaign going? Are we getting the sales? And then I'm sitting there slacking to the team going, guys, we need to look at this and this and this.
Right.
So, and like we said before, Amazon sell is, it's so easy to set up and sell. But we know with our experience, Matt, is like, man, there's so many things that can happen, go wrong, or you get whatever.
The bot comes in.
Yeah. And like, you know, you get frustrated and you get the same case message 5 times.
Yeah.
So I've just experienced it, and I've experienced it with my team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I just sit there going, you know, if you want to be an Amazon seller, you make sure you have patience.
You need so much patience. I would say you need a lot of patience probably as a PPC expert as well.
Yeah.
You must be very, very frustrated with all the... Is there much changes, I guess, in the landscape? Because when we started, you know, I just mentioned before that I started doing my own ads in 2017, roughly. But I outsourced it from 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't touch it at all now. And so has there been a lot of development over that time? And in particular, has there been, like, has AI come into the space as well?
Yes, there's been a lot of developments. I think the most important thing, though, is the fundamentals never go away in terms of your strategy thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your execution and then more tools that you now have available.
So it's all keyword-based, basically.
So it's keyword. Well, but you still have, you know, you know, a bit more. Our campaign structures are maybe a little bit different in terms of how we think about it. I know that, you know, if it's a new seller versus an existing seller, you have data to go off. Mm-hmm. If you're a new seller, you need to, you know, you need to acquire and you start kind of learning. Your Amazon ads have to start kind of getting data for you to actually have something to analyze. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, we think very much about if it's a new seller, we might run, you know, and one thing we would never do is we never group all products under one campaign. We run individual-based, product-based ads mm-hmm. because they're all different. All products are different. And we might run 3 to 4 different campaigns for one product to make sure that, okay, one might be automatic setting because we're just trying to get, you know, an insight in terms of what are people searching and when are your products popping up and when are people clicking on the ad mm-hmm. just to see, okay, the first set of engagement we're going to have is, you know, a good CTR. That means, okay, targeting's good. It's relevant, and then are people converting? So if you look at that aspect, it's like, you know, there's tools and AIs, but I'm like, it's still very, very manual what my team are doing and like okay. what I'm doing in terms of reading the data, pulling your search term lists, understanding like, okay, what's good, what's bad.
Hey guys, I just want to break away from the episode for just one moment and let you know that I've just launched the Amazon Launchpad mini course. Now this is designed for people who want to get started on Amazon really, really fast. But guess what? I can get you launched your first product on Amazon with just 5 hours. You just have to click on the link below, join my community, and the course is absolutely free. All right, thanks guys, and back to the episode.
So it's not as easy as, you know, you see some things right now of, you know, for example, create your own podcast.
All you have
to do is just press this one button and it's whole podcast. It's not as simple as that.
No, unfortunately not.
Okay.
It's good that it's not, or else, you know, 2020 wouldn't exist.
You'd be out of a job.
I would be out of a job, but it's many times, there's, you know, the solution you'll find is people go, Amazon systems told me, set up an automatic campaign, put in your products, put in your daily budgets and your bids and let it go. And, you know, you could do that for maybe a week, but then you need to kind of get in there to see, okay, where am I wasting money or where am I seeing great success?
Yeah.
And then you pull all that out and you set up a separate campaign for that.
I've got a question for you, Martin, because this comes up all the time, particularly with new sellers. How much money should someone spend, like per day, for example, when they're brand new, and let's say they've even gone through the Vine program, they've got some reviews, so the sales are sort of trickling in.
Yeah.
Is there a number in mind and is it based on, you know, their financial position or is it based on the retail price of the product? Have you got some insight into that?
Well, you should definitely, you know, with any business, you need to consider what's my costs and then what's my profit? Mm-hmm. What can you afford? Mm-hmm. And if you're a new seller, you know, we have a couple of slides that we show to our clients just to set expectations.
Right.
As a new seller, you know, if you're getting, you might for the first 2 months only get a ROAS of 1 to 1.5, so return on ad spend. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know,
because that's the way the game is.
That's how it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to earn your way in. It's like, you know, no one picks winners the first time. Of course, you can bypass some stuff, but you need to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But with Amazon, what we're trying to look at, we look at ROAS as anything above a 3, we consider good.
Yeah.
But you need to look at the bigger picture. So when you look at your data, you also have total ROAS. So that's your total return on ad spend, which takes into account and what your whole store is doing. Mm-hmm. So the way we report on things is we look at ROAS, at the uplift there.
And just to clarify, return on ad spend.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing, when you say ROAS of 1, that means you're spending $1 and you're getting $1 back in sales.
Correct. Right? Yes.
And your ideal is to spend $1 and get minimum $3 back in sales. Yeah.
That's where we want to sit for Amazon. Mm-hmm. But then we also look at the total ROAS. So you might have a ROAS of 3, but your total ROAS is 7.
Which is your overall sales based on your ad spend.
Ad spend. And the reason why this matters, and I understand that you might already have organic sales, et cetera, et cetera. But what I've explained to a lot of, most people that are kind of new to the space is Amazon's has an attribution window. An attribution means that they look back a certain time point to see, okay, someone clicked on your ad and then they bought. For Facebook and Google and all that, that can be up to 90 days. That's like that's a lifetime in digital world. Amazon only has 8 days.
Wow.
So if I come, I click on one of your products, it's, you know, on day one or day two, and I buy something 10 days later, that will count as an organic sale. to you or to Amazon. But in reality, the first interaction or the, you know, the education, the awareness happened with the ads.
Right.
So we have a way of reporting on the uplifts for both.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is when you run ads and you get sales from ads, you also see a return, a total return on ad spend also grow outside of just ROAS.
Mm-hmm. And that's important to you as guests, because if you're not getting the attribution, you can't say, well, that sale came from our ads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when people come and say, oh, I'm getting 5 or 8 ROAS on my Google ads, et cetera, et cetera, this is my opportunity. Just, hey, you have to look at Amazon differently.
Yeah, and that's because Google would have how much attribution then, the 90 days?
You can set your windows from 30 to 90 days, like with Google.
Okay.
Which is a long, long time. Like, and that's the way, you know, Google also then, you know, gets people to spend more, because people think that everything's driven by Google.
Mm.
But like, you know, us having a conversation today and, you know, about milk, and you buy milk in 60 days doesn't mean that, you know, I drove that conversion.
Yeah. Now, I told my community...
Oh, yes.
That I was having an Amazon PPC expert coming to talk to me today. So first of all, thank you again. But I've got some questions.
Excellent.
Yeah, I put out to the community. I said, what do you want me to ask this guy? You know, anything. I'm sure you're going to be able to answer this. This would be like child's play. But here's the first question, okay? How should Amazon PPC campaigns be structured for new versus seasoned sellers? Is it the same? Or is there something different about whether you're starting at new or you're further down the track? Is there a different structure?
It definitely is a different structure.
Okay.
The biggest thought for new sellers is when you start a new ads account, you're basically starting from scratch. Your ads account doesn't have any data.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do initially is, you know, don't try and put everything into one basket perhaps. You might select a few of your products that you believe in. Ideally, you know.
Well, let me just say this too, Martin. Most sellers, certain that I speak to, they've got one product. Right? They're not launching a series of products. Yeah. They're like, we put all of our time, we mortgaged the house or we sold the car.
Yeah.
We've got this one product now and, you know, we invented it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here it is.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So this one amazing product, what we tend to do is that we have a crawl, walk, run approach.
Okay.
Basically meaning, don't go and set up a campaign and put, you know, your life savings into that first campaign. You start small just to kind of start what we call feeding the algorithm and getting some data back from Amazon. It might be as simple as you just set up an automatic campaign with some restrictions around, you know, common sense negative keywords.
Mm-hmm.
Just to start there. Because
what would be an example of like negative keywords? So let's say I've got a yoga mat or something.
Yeah.
What would be like a negative keyword that would be... I mean, obviously it varies, but for people that don't know, like what's negative keywords? Something that would show that's not relevant to them?
Yes. So exactly. So if you think about, you know, in the instance of a yoga mat, which is a funny one, but say that you only have a, you know...
maybe it's like car mat.
A car mat.
Like you want to show up your mat for the car
mat. Yeah, exactly. So if you have an automatic campaign, it might kind of identify, you know, other mats.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something you also learn when you get the data back. But if you know something like, I definitely want to come up for these, if it's, you know, yoga mats, so no car mats, no bus mat, whatever it could be, or front door mats, you can put those as negative keywords and you won't be popping up for those those type of search terms. And that's a good way to start.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to limit it too much, but just, you know, anything common sense. It might be 4 or 5. Don't be too stressed. If you can't think of 20, it's okay.
Yeah.
And then you might just, if you kind of are operating a slightly lower budget, you maybe want to start, you know, $10, $20 a day max.
Okay. So lower budget would be $10, $20 a day.
Yeah.
That was what you would consider lower budget?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's,
okay.
I consider that
like
lower budget.
$5 a day or?
$5, no, like 10 to 20, and maybe let that run for, you know, for 7 days. You just go and have a monitor it to see how things are kind of performing. And initially, you can kind of follow Amazon's bid recommendations, or you want to go to 10% lower.
Okay. I think you've made something really, like a really good point today too, especially for new sellers, which is that they need to allocate a budget for advertising in the beginning. Because a lot of people who are like the mum and dad sellers come through. And I say mum and dad sellers in a good way. I'm a dad. So I don't mean that in a negative way. That's not a negative word. But... you know, they're not sort of a company, so to speak, right? And a lot of people I see, they come in, they've maybe spent up to $10,000, you know, developing this product.
Yes.
And they're just like, okay, they're like, okay, that's it. I'm launching.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, hang on a second, PPC.
Yeah.
And you've also said today, you know, don't expect a three ROAS.
Yes.
Right? So you're going to have to expect one, maybe two best
yep.
for a period of time, which yep. means you're going to essentially be forking out money.
Yes.
Right? For how long would you expect that to, Martin, like in a startup?
You know, unfortunately, like how long is a piece of string?
Right.
But, and this is where with your launch, try and think bigger. Don't let Amazon live in isolation. So if you have an opportunity, if you have another platform, if it's your socials, if it's a website, if you have emails, EDMs, make a big splash around it. You go in and let everyone know that, hey, this is now on Amazon, and ideally you should have it on Amazon Prime. So basically, you know, FBA delivered.
Yeah.
Because two things. You are leveraging Amazon's brand trust, and Amazon is a much bigger brand than most brands in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they've built, you know, trust around the whole Prime delivery.
Yes.
So people know that two things, they can buy it, and if they don't like it, they can return it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay,
mm-hmm.
because all feedback is good feedback. If yeah. you have a low return rate, you've created a good product, and they also show in the reviews.
Yeah.
If you get high returns and a lot of bad reviews,
there's a problem.
It's time to go back and look at, okay, how do we fix this?
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. All right. Next question.
Yep.
How do you optimize bidding to stay competitive without overspending?
How do you optimize bidding to stay competitive without overspending?
Is there such a thing?
Yes and no. And then the day it comes down to your business. What you need to understand, when I say you, it's like you listeners, you mm-hmm. sellers, is what is, you know, what's my costs here? What can I afford?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're selling a $10 product and your cost of goods is $5 and then other fees, et cetera, maybe leaves, and you want to make a dollar return, maybe you're only allowed to spend 15% of that budget on ad spend. So you don't go over that, because when you as soon as you start doing that, you go into the red zone, and then there's no going back.
Yeah.
So
can I just stop you there? Because this is so important. So many people come in thinking, you know, I can buy it from Alibaba
yep.
for 80 cents and I can sell it for like $10.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then by the time they do shipping,
yeah,
right, I'm going to get it from China to, yep. to the US or Australia. So you do shipping, I've got to do obviously Amazon's commissions
yep.
plus fulfillment fees. So it's going to yep. be 15% plus probably another $4 on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be something else, but maybe that didn't include packaging.
Yeah.
And then they might be left with, you know, even if they're left with $3, right? Yep. They've got a 30% of the total, like is their profit.
Yeah.
And then they've got to do advertising.
Exactly.
And so you could, am I right in saying this too, Martin, that you could have a product where the one bid could be like $2.
Yeah.
So one person clicks on that ad,
yeah.
$2 is gone.
Yeah.
So how do people survive on that? Yeah. Are they just getting wrecked?
And what you said there is really important. Yes, one click is $2 and your conversion rate might be 10%, which is, conversion rate of 10% is extremely high if you compare to a website, which mm-hmm. maybe sits on 1 to 1.5%.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that you need 10 clicks for one conversion,
yeah.
which is $20.
Yes.
And then you're selling a product for $10. So the only one winning here is Amazon.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the point is yeah. to be very careful with
yes.
just going cheap products.
Cheap products, or don't devalue products. End of the day, just because you're able to source something cheap, like cheaper, and then you're able to create a brand around it, etc. You know, make sure you like you're pricing it, you know, a few hundred percent then above what you purchased it for, mm-hmm. So you have that. You can actually like have something to play around with.
Yeah, really, really important that. Okay, what KPIs matter most for measuring PPC success?
Matter the most?
Mm-hmm.
Well, end result is like everyone wants to get revenue and sales. So we touched on this before. ROAS, really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Total ROAS, in my opinion, even more important.
Yes.
Because it all kind of drives for the bigger outcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you fix low click-through or conversion rates in PPC campaigns, or is that even possible?
Yes, it's definitely possible. So it's a couple of things. What we look at is you can refine your targeting, your keywords, your relevance.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned before, it could be, you know, bringing out running a manual campaign based on the top performing keywords that you found. That could be people engaging with them, but also purchasing. So you run them as a manual campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that you're testing your creative, so A/B testing your creative. So we run, if you look at the sponsored ads portfolio, you have your sponsored ads, you have brand display, and you have kind of your videos. We try to run a combination of everything. We found that if we run a combination of all formats and we basically own the real estate, as we call it, on a search, we see much higher conversion rates. But then it's also, you know, swapping out the creatives. One video maybe is not working, or one display is not working. Test something else.
Okay.
So that's where you can play around with that.
I've got another question then, just off the back of that. One of my own questions.
Yep.
Does your agency also handle the creative? So like if I'm doing videos, for example, I come to you and say, look, I want to obviously do video creatives. Do you say, we can handle all that, or do I have to come to you with my own video creatives?
We prefer working with people who come with videos. Okay. We can make small edits, but we tend to leverage brands, you know, because, and usually they have a graphic designer or someone making it, where they go, we know the brand, we know the brand guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
2020, just give us the specs or and some a little bit of a brief in terms of what should we mention for Amazon.
Yeah, probably more important for smaller sellers.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess if Mars is coming to you, they're not going to say, hey, can you guys go do our commercials for
us? No.
Yeah, or Holden.
Or Holden.
They're not saying that.
They're not selling cars anymore anyway.
Yeah, that's right. And no cars at all?
No, they shut down production. Okay. Four did.
Lucky I'm a Subaru fan.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. they're still making cars, but they did drop the STI.
Oh, really?
Not so good.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Okay, next question, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
How do you scale PPC while keeping the ACOS, which is average cost of sales, profitable?
I think we've touched on a couple of times. In terms of, it's just making sure that you're running highly relevant campaigns and you can scale. So you just have to look at your bid optimizations. And this is where, you know, what we call not a set and forget. You can't just set up your ad today and then go back and look at it in 2 weeks. It's a constant, you know, maybe daily at sometimes, maybe every second day, just looking at, I'm scaling, I put it in more budgets, but also maybe as other competitors coming in, so I have to adjust my bids.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes, you know, a bit of mathematics, just kind of looking at it and controlling it.
Yeah.
But then also always refine. So add negative keywords, find other high performing keywords, start target them manually. Mm-hmm. That's how we kind of keep on kind of feeding this machine.
Okay.
But it's, again, it's nothing easy here. So, you know, you have to actually check it quite often, a few times a week at least.
Okay. And I misspoke then too. ACOS is advertising cost of sales, not average. Now, what common PPC mistakes do sellers make and how can they avoid them?
I find that, I think I've said it in the previous one, they just set something up. They go on Amazon's, you know, campaign management recommendation, which is take all these ASINs or products or one ASIN, create an automatic campaign, put it as bids, and then just let it run.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just let it run.
How often should you monitor your advertising campaigns? Is it like set and forget for a month, or you need to come back daily or?
Well, it depends on your budget, of course. If you're spending $5 a day, maybe you can come back and look at it, you know, five days later. You just have to remember the scale of the data coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're spending, you know, $100, $200, $300 a day, you need to kind of be checking this on a regular basis. Okay.
And you're just cutting, you know, ad campaigns if they're just not performing? Is that how you do it?
No. So the way we do it, I think what we look at is if we run for one ASIN, we might be running, you know, 3-4 different campaigns with different metrics of success in terms of if we're running a video ad and then we're running sponsored ads and then brand display ads, we look at holistically, how are they performing together?
Oh, okay.
Because your video ad might not drive heaps of sales if you look at it individually, but together, because when people search for, in this case, collagen, you're owning like a lot of real estate space on that search.
Mm-hmm.
All people are seeing is this amazing brand, and they might click the sponsored ads and buy from that, but everything's actually influenced that buy.
Right.
So it's so much more that goes into it than just saying that campaign's bad because the ACOS is it and just cutting it.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
More to it. All right. What is the best? It's a good one, Martin. You're going to get bring out all the gold. What is the best kept secret in Amazon ads that you have? Are you listening, folks? Yeah. The best kept secret, and go.
I think definitely it's kind of the growth of the sponsored brands section in terms of you really utilizing that. So many people just rely on the sponsored ads, those little shopping ads. But there's so much value in terms of running those sponsored display, sponsored video. And then, you know, when you're hitting a certain, like, you know, when your product's booming and you feel like I can't take it any further, that's when you need to add in Amazon DSP.
Right.
To start finding, to, you know, start filling in and finding more people in who are shopping in your category, but they don't know who you are.
Okay. Why do you think, I guess these days, I was going to say, why do you think people don't do video ads? But now though, with obviously AI and the video tools that are around, you can pretty much knock out a video pretty easily.
Yes, it's a bit easier. Again, it all depends on your own brand guidelines. It's like, you know, we play around with a bit of AI, you know, and sometimes it just looks AI, and you know, but I'm sure that will kind of improve. And then Amazon sponsored Amazon ads section actually has an AI now. So you can, so if you only have a hero product image, you can actually run it through that, and it'll give you some lifestyle and kind of help you with that.
Okay.
And also create like a simple video. So that's a good place to start because it's free. It's in Campaign Manager. You can have a go at it.
Okay. Now, there's obviously going to be a lot of people listening to this who are new to Amazon or haven't even started Amazon yet.
No.
And they're going to want to know more information. Where can people find information about your services? And perhaps do you have a YouTube channel or something out there that you have information on?
No, we don't have a YouTube channel.
You keep all the secrets for this podcast.
Just for you. It's exclusive. No, like a lot of our information comes in terms of catch-ups with kind of clients. But, you know, we do share some stuff through our, you know, through our website, which is, you know, 2020.com.au. But, yeah, maybe I should start a YouTube channel.
You could start a YouTube channel.
I don't want to compete with you.
Or at least a podcast.
A podcast, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the best tips on PPC, but you do more than PPC though, right? You do a whole range of things across all these different platforms, Amazon, Walmart, eBay. Yeah. What are the other platforms that you guys are doing? Google?
So Google, we don't really do Google PPC, but we do, we've been experimenting or running a lot of TikTok at the moment.
TikTok, my goodness.
TikTok ads to Amazon.
Yeah. Can I ask you on TikTok? Can I talk to you on TikTok?
You can do whatever you want. It's your podcast.
Is... Can people now go on to TikTok Australia, or because I've heard that only TikTok USA was available to do TikTok shopping?
Yeah, it's not available here yet. So UK, US first. But Australia is very much usually a test market for tech companies. So, you know, Facebook will test a lot of new features here in AU first because we're very similar to the Americans, but it's more, it's a smaller market. So it's easier for them to control. So I wouldn't be surprised if TikTok Shop comes here. Quite soon.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you have an experience in TikTok USA?
No, we're mainly using it not for, for the shopping side of it, but to work with influencers or run ads that drives to the Amazon platform. For example, here's a good tip. If you're if you do have brand registry and you're selling in US, you can then like leverage Amazon's kind of brand referral program. So if you run an ad or you work with an influencer and you drive traffic from that channel to Amazon and they purchase, you can get up to 10% discount on your fees.
Okay, as an affiliate program.
Yes, but this is separate. If you actually go in and look into the Seller Central, I can't remember the exact where to click on it, but it's a different section, but it's like an affiliate, but you have to have brand registry to be able to do it.
Got it, okay. And I want to also get your thoughts just finally on Temu.
Temu.
Yeah, what do you think about that platform, and are you guys involved in that one?
No, we don't work with Temu. It's an amazing app that they built, and it's almost like being on the Pokies. I don't play Pokies, and I find it really distracting. I believe Temu, this is my prediction. I don't have any backing
Give
for
us
this.
The prediction, Martin.
But I think Temu? There will be a lot of more restrictions in the future on Temu just because of the court cases coming out for the counterfeits. So Doc Martens was one of the first ones to sue them. I've bought some what's supposed to be HP headphones, and they looked okay, but they were completely wrong and didn't work.
Okay.
So a lot of crap is coming out of it. And I think, you know, Amazon will find, like, I think they're only working on like an alternative to a Temu competitor.
Yeah.
But Temu is not going away. You can still buy good products, but
You can. Okay, I don't know. I'm going to say this though, because from a seller's perspective, we kind of get a bit whingy about, you know, the high bar that Amazon sets for sellers.
Yes.
Yeah. But from a consumer point of view, that's great.
Yes.
Because you know what, when you go to Amazon, you're not buying fakes, counterfeits. Exactly. You're getting real, you know, legit products, quality products, and Amazon's going to stand behind those products. Yes. Obviously, if it's no good, you can send it back.
Yes.
And people hate buying counterfeit stuff, especially if they know that they're expecting it real. Hence why I think Temu may be a bad place to shop.
Yeah, yeah, like definitely if you're looking for something real. And that's the thing, what you just said, it might be difficult for a seller on Amazon. And that's the thing, they always put the shopper first.
Mm.
And that's how they built what they built, because, you know, without shoppers, there couldn't be any sellers.
You started off in the beginning of our conversation with Amazon has built up a lot of trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. So I'm going to just finally say we can find some more details about you on your 2020 website. Yeah, and we'll leave a link to that in the show notes. I want to say thank you so much, Martin. You gave away so much gold today and appreciate you coming into the studio.
Thank you so much, Matt. It was really, really nice to be here and some great questions and conversations.
Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.